Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. I once again want to encourage you to take a look at our new website, renewalministries.net. It's a site on which, if you wish, you can listen to my radio program as well as Peter Herbeck's radio program. You can listen there. You can look at past programs. We keep several weeks up at a time. So you can go to our archives, you can listen to past programs if you want to repeat them that way. There's just access to all kinds of things, our television programs, everything that we do. And I think you'll find it very navigable. It's been well put together. It's taken a lot of work, but it's been well put together. And so I just want to encourage you to take a look, renewalministries.net. That's all you need, no spaces, no capitals. Just renewalministries, plural, .net. Also, that you can call the 800 number at the end of our program and receive a free copy of my new booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. That's a new one. I have another booklet on mercy, Captured by Mercy. That one I think you're familiar with and had offered over the last year or two, but I have done a second one now, and if you just listen to the information at the end of the program, you'll receive the 800 toll-free number. You can call that number and receive a free copy of the new booklet. Today, we look ahead to readings for this Sunday, which is the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the first reading is from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, and then 3 to 8. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, with the train of his garment filling the temple. Seraphim were stationed above. They cried one to the other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All the earth is filled with his glory." At the sound of that cry, the frame of the door shook and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, I am doomed, for I am a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, holding an ember that he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with it. It would burn. He touched my mouth with it and said, "See, now that this has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed, your sin purged." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" "Here I am," I said, "send me." I often think, brothers and sisters, that ought to be the fruit of this year, is that as we're cleansed, as we're purified of our sin, because we've taken the time to seriously do an inventory, we've taken the time to go to the sacrament of reconciliation, we change. And then what we ought to be is in a position to be able to say to the Lord, "Here I am, Lord. I'm now ready to serve those who do not yet know you. And they're all around us. Here I am, Lord. Send me." When we've repented of our sin, when we've experienced the mercy of God, when we're praying every day, doesn't mean that it's perfect. It doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes, sometimes serious mistakes. Doesn't mean that. But it means that we're trying. We're on the road. The moment we're on the road, the Lord can work through us. You don't have to be perfect. You'll never be perfect this side of heaven. But if you're on the road and you really are putting the Lord first and you're seeking him and you're seeking to follow his way and obey his word, he will use you. "Here I am, Lord. Send me." Responsorial Psalm 138, "In the sight of the angels, I will sing your praises, Lord." Did you ever really just stop and think that right now, wherever you are listening to this program, the angels are all around you? When we come to Mass, it's not just us in our parish, in our church at Mass. We're entering into the eternal worship that is constantly going on before the throne of God. We're entering into the angels and the archangels and the choirs of heaven praising God. We're entering into what is already at work. We don't begin Mass and end Mass. We enter in to the eternal liturgy before the throne of God. Get eyes of faith. Eyes of faith. Your guardian angel accompanies you in all your deeds. God is with you. The presence of His Holy Spirit is in you. You are a tabernacle dedicated to God. Are you living that? Or do you just say, oh, that's nice. That's a nice thought. But pat, pat, pat me on the head. You don't live in the real world. Yes, I do. I live in the real world. What you live in is very temporary. And it will die. So where are you going to put your roots down? In the real world that lasts for all eternity, or just getting through this life? What are you living for? Are you not living for Him? Come on, Christians. Come on, Catholics. Let's stand up. Here I am. Send me. The second reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. I am reminding you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you indeed received and in which you also stand. Notice I'm reminding you because we need reminding. We get all caught up in other things. Through it, you are also being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, Christ appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. After that, He appeared to James and then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one born abnormally, He appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me has not been ineffective. Indeed, I have toiled harder than all of them. Not I, however, but the grace of God that is with me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. Do you see the humility of Paul there? I'm one born abnormally. I'm the least. I'm not fit to be called an apostle. He means that. He's not just saying it. It's not just pious words. What I am is by the grace of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Not by me. I persecuted the church of God. But His grace in me has not been ineffective. It's borne fruit. Has the grace of God in you been effective? Has it borne fruit? Is it bearing fruit? Let's take a look at the Gospel, chapter 5 of the Gospel of Luke, verses 1 to 11. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, He was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, He asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Now, if they're there and they're washing their nets, that's hard work. And it has to be done. And Jesus gets into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon. And He asks him to put out a short distance from the shore. And then He sat down and He taught the crowd from the boat. And after He'd finished speaking, He said to Simon, put out into the deep water. Lower your nets for a catch. If they're washing their nets, that meant they had been out all night trying to fish. And Jesus says, just put your nets down, put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch. And Simon said to Him in reply, Master, we've worked hard all night. We've caught nothing. But look at this. But at your command, I will lower the nets. Sometimes God asks things of us that don't seem to make sense humanly. Sometimes God allows us to bear fruit in the desert, so to speak, that he might show us his power and that we might come to depend on him more than we depend upon ourselves and our own resources. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their nets were tearing. That means it was extraordinarily heavy. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. What a catch! When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. You've done what I know is impossible. There were no fish biting, but I did what you asked, even after we had toiled a long time and caught nothing. I did what you asked, Lord. I am a sinful man. Lord, I love you." That's what he's saying. I will follow you. For astonishment that the catch of fish they had made seized him, and all those with them, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid." Because I am sure there was some trembling going on. This violates the laws of nature. There were no fish there. We know these waters. We know where fish come. There were no fish there. And yet we had the biggest catch of fish we've ever had. What's going on here? They're, you know, all their normal earthbound knowledge and logic isn't working in this picture. They're astounded. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. Brothers and sisters, has there been a time in your life when, perhaps not in something so extraordinary and so public, but a way in which God has shown himself present, have you as a result followed him more closely? He's offering invitations periodically, different ways, sometimes right in the normal circumstances we're dealing with, and we fail to see him because our eyes of faith are dim. That's why I said the other day on the program, keep praying for faith, greater faith, because God is always acting. He's always acting. He's always attentive. He always sees our needs. He always is acting. We're the ones that need to tap into his action. The times when, oh my goodness, that worked out so beautifully. You've heard people say that was so unexpected. I never thought that it would resolve itself that way. I never thought this would happen at this event. You're stunned by it. Say to the Lord, "Lord, is this your action? Are you giving us a message? Are you showing us something?" Enter into a relationship. Let the Word of God shape your thinking. Read the Word every day. Let the priorities of the Word shape you, form you. God wants to use all that you are and all that you have to build the kingdom. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.